Welcome back to the For Legal English podcast, your go-to podcast for navigating the complex world of global commerce and legal English. In today's episode, we're unraveling the intricate threads of international contracts, the backbone of cross-border business. Whether you're a legal eagle or a business tycoon, understanding these contractual complexities is a must. So stay tuned as we dive deep into the fascinating world of international contracts. On the docket today, understanding international contracts, exploring the key components of international contracts. The For Legal English podcast is now in session. Welcome to the For Legal English podcast. This is the show for lawyers, law students, and other professionals from all over the world who want to improve both their legal English and legal knowledge. In this podcast, we discuss different legal topics, such as law in the news, law in practice, legal writing, legal movies, and other issues. This podcast does not constitute legal advice. If you need legal advice, consult an attorney. You can check out our blog articles, available courses, and the show notes for this episode on our website. That's four, legalenglish, no spaces or dashes, .com. forlegalenglish.com. I'm Timothy Barrett, your host. I'm a former practicing attorney from the United States, more recently a law professor in Tbilisi, Georgia, and currently an author and podcast host, among other things. As businesses expand across borders and international trade flourishes, the importance of international contracts cannot be overstated. These legally binding agreements govern everything from international sales to joint ventures and investment projects. On the docket today, we're peeling back the layers of international contracts to reveal their key components, the critical choices you must make, and how they impact dispute resolution. So whether you're a legal professional seeking insights or a business leader navigating global markets, this episode is tailor-made for you. Throughout our discussion, we'll explore the role of choice of law, jurisdiction, and dispute resolution mechanisms in international contracts. We'll also share practical tips for drafting effective international agreements and delve into real-world case studies to illustrate their significance. But before we dive in, a quick reminder. The information provided in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. It's not legal advice. You should always consult with legal professionals for guidance on your specific situations. So without further ado, let's embark on a journey into the realm of international contracts. Stick around. It's going to be an interesting ride. On the docket today, understanding international contracts, exploring the key components of international contracts. Key components of international contracts. Now that we've set the stage, let's dive straight into the core of international contracts, their key components. When crafting these agreements, it's essential to consider various elements that will determine how the contract functions across borders. Defining the parties. Our journey begins by defining the parties involved. In international contracts, these parties often hail from different corners of the world. It's crucial to clearly identify who's who in the agreement, including parent companies, subsidiaries, and authorized representatives. Establishing this clarity prevents confusion down the line. Matter and scope. Once we've identified the players, we move on to defining the contract subject matter and scope. This is where we outline the purposes of the contract, the goods or services to be exchanged, and any performance requirements. A well-defined scope helps parties stay on the same page throughout the contract's execution. Terms and conditions. With the scope set, it's time to lay out the terms and conditions. These are the rules of the game, including payment terms, delivery schedules, warranties, and any special conditions unique to the contract. These terms are like the contract's DNA, defining how it operates and what each party's responsibilities are. choice of law. Now let's introduce the first critical element of international contracts, the choice of law. This determines which country's legal system will govern the contract. It's a bit like choosing the referee for your game. This choice can have far-reaching implications, as it influences how disputes will be resolved and what rules will apply. Obviously, the two main choices would be where the buyer or the seller reside, where they do their main business in. But that doesn't have to be one of those two countries. It could be a third country entirely. Jurisdiction. Following closely behind the choice of law is jurisdiction. This refers to the court or tribunal that has the authority to hear disputes related to this contract. It's like picking the venue for your legal battles. Where will you go for any dispute? It's not a decision to be taken lightly. The chosen jurisdiction can significantly impact the outcome of disputes, just like the choice of law can. Obviously, there's a benefit to having the choice of law in the jurisdiction being the same, but that's not always the case. Dispute resolution mechanisms. These mechanisms outline how disputes will be handled, whether through negotiation, mediation, arbitration, or litigation. And just like in sports, the right choice of mechanism can lead to a fair and efficient resolution. So, we've unveiled the key components of international contracts, defining the parties, setting the subject matter, establishing terms, choosing the law, determining jurisdiction, and laying out dispute resolution mechanisms. These components form the very foundation of contracts that transcend borders. As we move forward, we'll explore each of these elements in more detail and discuss how your choices can impact the success of your international contract. Stay with me as we journey deeper into the intricacies of international business law. Choice of law. Welcome back, dear listeners, to another insightful section on international business law. In this section, we'll delve deeper into the crucial component of international contracts, the choice of law. Choice of law, sometimes referred to as governing law or applicable law, is like the legal compass of your international contract. It specifies which country's legal system will govern the agreement. The choice isn't arbitrary. It holds significant implications for the interpretation and enforcement of the contract. It can impact how disputes are resolved, the rights and obligations of the parties, and even the validity of certain clauses. Let's look at some considerations in choosing the applicable law. When selecting the applicable law for your international contract, several factors come into play. Firstly, there's the principle of party autonomy. Parties often have the freedom to choose the governing law, but there may be limitations based on mandatory rules of certain jurisdictions. Secondly, you need to think about the nature of your contract. Is it a sales contract, a services agreement, or something else? Different types of contracts may benefit from different legal systems. Thirdly, consider the location of the parties and their assets. You'll want the chosen law to be reasonably connected to the transaction. The role of international conventions. International conventions and treaties can also influence the choice of law. These agreements often provide clarity on applicable laws for specific types of contracts or industries. Familiarizing yourself with these conventions can be a valuable part of your decision-making process. Obviously, a big one is the Convention on International Sales of Goods, but there are other important conventions and treaties as well. Some hypotheticals. To illustrate the importance of choice of law, let's consider a couple of practical examples or hypotheticals. Imagine you're a manufacturer in Germany, entering into a contract to sell machinery to a company in the United States. The choice of German law might be logical since it's the seller's jurisdiction. Now let's switch gears. You're a tech startup in South Korea, signing a licensing agreement with a Japanese firm. In this case, you may opt for Japanese law due to its relevance in the tech industry. The role of legal experts. In many international contracts, parties seek legal counsel to navigate the complexities of choice of law. Legal experts can provide valuable insights into the advantages and disadvantages of various legal systems. They can also help draft the contract to ensure it aligns with the chosen law and advise on dispute resolution mechanisms that work harmoniously with that law. To sum it up, choice of law is a pivotal component of international contracts. It's the legal framework that underpins the entire agreement. In the next segments, we'll continue exploring key aspects of international contracts, so stay tuned for more insights into the fascinating field of law. You are listening to For Legal English Podcast, where legal knowledge meets practical insights. Don't wander far. We'll be right back after a short break to continue your journey through international business law. Hello, listeners. I have some exciting news for you. There's a brand new book on the block, and it's here to transform your writing skills. Introducing For Business English Writing Journal, 365 daily prompts for global professionals, written by myself, Timothy Barrett. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting your journey, this journal is your daily companion on the path to becoming a better writer. It's hot off the press and available on Amazon now. Why should you check it out? Well, imagine crafting persuasive emails, reports, and presentations with confidence. This book is your ticket to career advancement, global communication, and lasting transformation. Ready to become a better writer? Head over to Amazon and search for For Business English Writing Journal. And for more info, tips, and resources, visit the website, either forlegalenglish.com or forbusiness-english.com. And you can check out the books right there. Don't miss out on this opportunity to supercharge your writing skills. Thanks for tuning in and happy writing. Jurisdiction. Welcome back to the For Legal English Podcast. In this segment, we'll navigate the complex waters of international business law. Our focus now turns to another crucial aspect of international contracts, jurisdiction. Understanding jurisdiction. Jurisdiction refers to the authority of a court or legal system to hear and decide a case. It's like the stage where the legal drama unfolds. In international contracts, determining which court has jurisdiction can be as vital as the choice of law. It influences where disputes will be resolved. Different types of jurisdiction. Jurisdiction can be divided into several types: personal jurisdiction, subject matter jurisdiction, and territorial jurisdiction, to name a few. Personal jurisdiction, for instance, deals with whether a court has power over the parties involved. Subject matter jurisdiction refers to the court's authority over the type of case in question or the property that's in question. Exclusive versus non-exclusive jurisdiction. When crafting an international contract, parties often need to decide whether the chosen court will have exclusive or non-exclusive jurisdiction. Exclusive jurisdiction means that only the specified court can hear disputes related to the contract. Non-exclusive jurisdiction allows parties to pursue legal action in other appropriate courts if they choose. Selection clauses. Forum selection clauses are provisions in contracts that specify which court will have jurisdiction over disputes. These clauses provide clarity and can prevent jurisdictional battles. They are particularly valuable in international contracts, where parties may come from different countries. Challenges of jurisdiction. Determining jurisdiction can be tricky in international contracts. When parties are located in different countries, questions may arise about where to file a lawsuit. Moreover, differences in legal systems and laws can lead to disputes over jurisdictional matters. The role of international treaties. International treaties and conventions can play a significant role in clarifying jurisdictional issues. For example, the Hague Convention on Choice of Court Agreements helps enforce forum selection clauses across borders. Balancing Act. When negotiating international contracts, striking a balance between choice of law and jurisdiction is key. The chosen law may be different from the court's location, so parties need to ensure these aspects align. As with choice of law, seeking advice from legal experts is often wise when addressing jurisdictional matters in international contracts. They can help draft clear and enforceable forum selection clauses and navigate potential disputes related to jurisdiction. Jurisdiction may seem like a complex puzzle in international contracts, but it's an essential piece of the legal framework. In the next section, we'll explore dispute resolution mechanisms, another critical aspect of international contracts. So stay with me as we continue our journey through the fascinating world of international business law. Dispute resolution mechanisms. We're delving deep into international business law, and in this segment, we'll explore a critical element of international contracts, dispute resolution mechanisms. The importance of dispute resolution. Disputes can arise in even the most carefully crafted international contracts. Therefore, it's essential to establish mechanisms for resolving these disputes. This can help avoid costly and lengthy legal battles, ensuring that business can continue as smoothly as possible. Negotiation and amicable resolution. Often, parties prefer to resolve disputes through negotiation and amicable discussion. This approach can help maintain business relationships. However, it's crucial to outline the negotiation process clearly in the contract. It's often easier to agree on such issues before the contract is signed and before there is an actual dispute than waiting until after the contract has been signed and there's now a live dispute. Mediation. Mediation involves a neutral third party who assists in facilitating a resolution between the disputing parties. It can be a less formal and more collaborative process compared to litigation or arbitration. One of the main differences, mediation is usually non-binding. The parties have to agree on the resolution. Arbitration. Arbitration is a formal dispute resolution process where an arbitrator or panel of arbitrators makes a binding decision on the dispute. International arbitration is often preferred in international contracts due to its enforceability across borders. Litigation. Litigation involves taking the dispute to court. While it's typically a more time-consuming and expensive option, it may be necessary in some cases. When choosing litigation, parties must consider jurisdiction and the choice of law. Hybrid approaches. Some contracts may combine various dispute resolution mechanisms. For example, parties might agree to start with negotiation and move on to arbitration if needed. These hybrid approaches can provide flexibility while ensuring a structured process. Enforcement of decisions. Enforcing arbitration awards and court judgments in international contracts can be complex due to differences in legal systems. Parties should consider the New York Convention, which facilitates the recognition and enforcement of foreign arbitration awards in over 160 countries. And you want to keep this in mind, because what good is winning in mediation, arbitration, or litigation if you can't enforce the decision? Choice of mechanism. The choice of dispute resolution mechanism should align with the party's goals, preferences, and the nature of the contract. It's a crucial decision made during contract negotiation. When drafting international contracts, it's vital to include detailed provisions regarding the chosen dispute resolution mechanism. This clarity can prevent disputes over the process itself. Dispute resolution mechanisms are the safety nets of international contracts, ensuring that conflicts are addressed efficiently and fairly. Drafting effective international contracts. Welcome back to the For Legal English podcast. In this segment, we'll explore the art of drafting effective international contracts, a crucial skill for lawyers practicing in the realm of international business law. Clarity and precision. When drafting international contracts, clarity and precision are paramount. Language should leave no room for ambiguity. Vague terms and unclear provisions can lead to disputes down the road. Key terms. Clearly define key terms and concepts within the contract. What may seem obvious to one party might not be to the other. A glossary of terms can be a valuable addition. Incorporate dispute resolution clauses. Following our previous segment, it's essential to incorporate dispute resolution clauses that specify the chosen method and jurisdiction. Ensure these clauses are detailed and leave no room for interpretation. Choice of law clauses. Specify which jurisdiction laws will govern the contract. This choice can significantly impact how the contract is interpreted. parties should be aware of the legal framework they are entering. Payment terms. Clearly outline payment terms, including currency, due dates, and any penalties for late payments. This helps avoid misunderstandings and payment disputes. Performance obligations. Define each party's performance obligations comprehensively. What is expected? By when? And under what conditions? This section should leave no room for ambiguity regarding deliverables. Force majeure and termination clauses. Include force majeure clauses to address unforeseen events that may impact contract performance, perhaps like a global pandemic. Additionally, outline termination conditions and procedures. Confidentiality and non-disclosure. In international contracts, protecting sensitive information is vital. Confidentiality and non-disclosure clauses should be explicit. Parties must understand their obligations regarding the handling of proprietary information. Intellectual property rights. Address ownership and licensing of intellectual property. Specify who retains rights to created content or inventions. This is particularly important in technology and creative industries. Compliance with applicable laws. Contracts should require parties to comply with all relevant laws and regulations, including international trade laws. This safeguards against legal issues arising from non-compliance. Amendment and governing law. Specify how the contract may be amended and which jurisdiction's laws govern these amendments. This helps avoid conflicts when making changes, because often in the real world, we do have to make changes. Signature and execution. Clearly outline how the contract is to be signed and executed, whether through physical signatures, electronic means, or both. Ensure that all parties understand the process. A well-drafted contract can prevent disputes and protect your client's interests. Effective contract drafting is a blend of legal knowledge, precision, and foresight. As legal professionals, our role is to ensure that contracts serve as robust frameworks for business relationships, guiding parties through successful transactions. In our final segment, we'll wrap up our discussions on international contracts. We'll touch on some common pitfalls to avoid and provide a summary of key takeaways. Case study, the XYZ International Contract Dispute. Welcome back, listeners. Now it's time to apply what we've learned about international contracts to a real-world scenario. In this case study, we'll explore the XYZ International Contract Dispute. Our case centers around two global entities, ABC Corporation, based in the United States, and DEF Limited, a company headquartered in the United Kingdom. They entered into a complex international contract for the supply of cutting-edge technology components. Everything appeared fine at first. Both parties believed they had a shared understanding of the contract terms, including the choice of law, jurisdiction, and dispute resolution mechanisms. However, as often happens in international business, things didn't go as smoothly as expected. Here's where it gets interesting. ABC Corporation, based in the U.S., believes that DEF Limited has failed to meet its contractual obligations regarding the quality and timely delivery of the technology components. DEF Limited, on the other hand, claims that ABC Corporation made last-minute changes to the specifications without proper notification, leading to delays and quality issues. Now let's analyze the case. What are the key components of this international contract that could affect the outcome of this dispute? Think about the choice of law, jurisdiction, and dispute resolution mechanisms. These components will play a pivotal role in resolving the XYZ contract dispute. So here are some questions to ponder. How does the choice of law affect the interpretation of the contract terms? Is it based on U.S. law, U.K. law, or another jurisdiction? What jurisdiction has been chosen in this contract? How might that impact the proceedings? Considering the dispute resolution mechanism, do you think arbitration or litigation in a specific jurisdiction is more suitable for this case? How might cultural and language differences between U.S. and U.K. parties impact the dispute resolution process? Consider these questions and visit our show notes. Tell us what you think. You can drop a comment in the show notes. Tell us what, as you ponder these questions about this hypothetical contract dispute, think about the issues that you would raise or you would consider. Visit our show notes and drop a comment. Tell us what questions you would have and how would you try to resolve this type of contract dispute. That wraps up today's episode of the For Legal English podcast, where we've delved into the complex yet fascinating world of international contracts. We've explored the key components, such as choice of law, jurisdiction, and dispute resolution mechanisms, and examined real-world case study to put theory into practice. International contracts are the backbone of global business, and understanding their intricacies is crucial for legal professionals operating in today's interconnected world. Remember, drafting effective international contracts requires meticulous attention to detail, an understanding of international law, and a firm grasp of legal English. It's a skill set that not only enhances your legal practice, but also opens doors to a world of opportunities. What questions do you have about today's episode? You can post those questions or any comments on the show notes. This is a great way to practice and improve your legal English skills. You can go to the website for, as in the number four, legalenglish, no spaces or dashes, .com. forlegalenglish.com. You can check out our blog articles and show notes for this episode, and check out the episode quizzes. It'd be fantastic if you could subscribe and give us a review. If you could leave us 5 stars and a nice comment, it would really help the algorithm and other people to find our podcast. If you leave a great review, I might even read it on the air. So start writing. The For Legal English podcast is adjourned. Don't miss the next docket call.